Today on Real Radio.
Strange things. God can call you to a strange thing. Strange to you. And God is honored in it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're in a series within a series taken from chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, hearing the call of God in your life. Our teacher, Pastor Jack, has decided to make this a mini-series because, well, quite frankly, there are valuable lessons and insights that can be taken from this and other passages regarding our divine calling. And let's face it, who doesn't want to know what their calling is? Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his presentation called Hearing the Call of God in Your Life.
Regarding hearing God's voice and God's call for our life, we ask this question: what will His call sound like in our lives? And we saw in verses 9 and 10 that we'll know His words. We'll know the word when He speaks. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if when He calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Very important truth. In verse 11, we saw that the call would sound wonderfully strange. When God calls us, it's a strange thing. It's not something common. And then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." Strange things. God does strange things in our lives. I love when God calls somebody and it's starting to cook on their heart and they'll ask someone or they'll come and ask me, "You know, I think the Lord might be calling me to do thus and so. What do you think?" And it sounds fine to me, but it sounds corny to them. And I love that because the more corny it is, the more dependent they have to be upon God to do it. I've already digressed enough. I might as well keep digressing here. And then Ezekiel. God tells Ezekiel, "I want you to lay on your side for something like 132 days or something like that. Lay on your side for 132 days. And I want you to cook your meal. And I want you to use human waste as fuel to cook your food with. Because I'm sending the children of Israel a message." And Ezekiel goes, "I'll lay on my side. And I'll prophesy to them, but I will not cook with human dung." And God says, "Okay, go ahead and use cattle dung then." Oh, great compromise there. And he did it. And then when he was done, God said, "Okay, now lay on your left side for 130 some odd days and preach to them again." And then God says, "Then get up and I want you to make little soldiers. And I want you to play in the dirt with the little army men. And I want you to have the nation of Israel be completely defeated as you play with these toys. You're sending them a message." Strange things. God can call you to a strange thing. Strange to you. And God is honored in it. Also, in verses 12 to 14, we saw last time that His call might very well sound like an alarm. The call of God might sound like an alarm. The message comes, and it's a brutal message that God gives to Samuel about Eli and his family, that God would judge that home and that his descendants would be cut off from Israel. A very strong and very tremendous thing. By the way, some Christians often say, "Oh, I have a burden from the Lord." Well, certainly Samuel could have said, "Eli, I've got a burden from the Lord," but he didn't. Christians, and I only have jurisdiction over this church, I want to encourage all of you, don't say, "I've got a burden from the Lord." God says, and look up the word burden. God doesn't want you and I to use the word burden. In fact, He says, Jeremiah, "Go tell those false prophets that are named in my name, who say, 'Thus saith the Lord,' the burden of the Lord, the burden of the Lord." God says, "I didn't say that, nor do I say the burden." You know, some say, "Oh, the burden from the Lord." God says, "Don't say that. You have a message from God. You have a call from God." But listen, God doesn't burden you. He'll fill your heart. He'll concern your heart. He'll give your heart discernment. He'll give your heart insights. But listen, His yoke and His burden, it is easy and it is light. Even though His message be, like Samuel's, a brutal message at first. "Eli, your family's going to be destroyed, judged by God, consumed." The prophet delivers the message. He cannot take it personal. Every time Jeremiah took the call personal, he got in trouble. He got defeated. He got depressed. God says, Jeremiah, you just speak what I tell you to say. Sometimes the call will sound like an alarm. Our fourth point was in verses 15 to 18, and we asked this question, what will a call be like? In Jeremiah 15, verse 16, it confirms, I think, what we just mentioned. Jeremiah says, your words were found, and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I think the call of God will very much be like this. I think it will be a joy and a pleasure. A joy and a pleasure. I believe it will be compelling. Verse 15 says, so Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. That was his ministry, and I believe as you read this chapter, he continued on in serving God because he was placed in the position to seek after the Lord. It was compelling to him. It's beautiful. By the way, it's compelling to Paul in Acts chapter 20. I'll just paraphrase it for you. Paul is there getting ready to say goodbye to many that had ministered with him. And there's prophecies going on about Paul's life that he's going to be bound and beaten and arrested if he goes up and serve and to preach. Jerusalem there, and the warning had gone out, and the people are weeping and crying and stuff, and Paul says, oh, what is this that you attempt to break my heart? I am both ready and willing to preach Christ and to die for him. How could he say that? Because he was compelled and committed to what God had called him to do. And we saw, too, that the call is a supernatural call. And we talked and touched on that, that what God calls us to do is supernatural. And then we saw in verses 17 and 18 that it will be of God. It says there in 17 and 18 that Eli responds and says, it is the Lord's. And he recognizes it, even though it was a call that brought his home to destruction. The master, that is the Lord, and the message that he gives, that's our Christian vocation. You and I, so to speak, punch in and punch out at our jobs. And at the end of the week or at the end of the month, we get a check. That's our vocation in the world. But every Christian has a vocation in the Lord, and that is to do what the master has told us, and that is the message that he gives us. And every one of us, if we're verbal or not, if we have one person that's in our sphere of influence, or maybe hundreds or thousands, the fact is that we've been called by God, and it will be of God. The call will be of God. The call, the very ministry, and the execution of it will always be in harmony with the Bible. What you believe God is calling you to do, you ought to be able to point to Scripture and say, this is what God's calling me to do. I like and appreciate that more often than not, you can find a ministry here at this church, and after the description of that ministry, there'll be a verse that you can go look up that corresponds to the ministry that that particular group of people or this church is offering. I think that's a good thing. You know how some people say, well, this is my life's verse. Maybe you have a life's chapter. It's the chapter for your life. That's a great thing. Maybe you have a life verse. Well, that's a neat thing, because you can take that verse and, Lord willing, apply it to the passion or to the desire of your life. The same is true for the ministry that God's called you into. Now listen, when the call that God has placed upon our life is viewed in the flesh, every one of us who are believers and serve the Lord, we struggle with this from time to time. If you're called by God to be doing a thing, and you're doing that thing, if you begin to view it in the flesh, and I wrote down a few things, we begin to err greatly. Even though the call, it's from God. The call be from God, this can happen. Internally, we can be serving the Lord like robots, you know, very faithful. But internally, we can take his call and it can become a hard thing to us. That's not good. Is what you're doing for the Lord, is it a hard thing? Is it something that you have to do? You started out great. You loved it and you got people excited about it. But now it's a hard thing. Now it's something you got to do. You're not excited about it anymore. It's almost a curse now. Though you never use that word. It's almost a curse. And you have a sense of almost feeling alone at doing it. Now listen, you may feel alone at it. There may be a lot of people around you serving, but you still feel alone at it. Or there could be no one there, and you're all alone, but you feel alone. Regardless of either one, you've departed from fellowship with God, even though it be from Him. And this is a very common thing in Christian service. And pastors and evangelists are not exempt. You gotta keep fresh. If you don't, well, what is going on internally manifests on the outside externally. You begin to complain. You're doing the work of God. It's from God you're called, but now you're complaining about it. You become critical about it and about others. You become cynical of those that are in the same work with you. And it's all because your attitudes become wrong, your spirit is backslidden in heart. And it's exactly what happened to the Ephesian church in Revelation chapter 2 when Jesus says, I know your works, I know all the things that you've done, but you've left your first love. Repent, therefore. You've left your first love. Are you a Christian? Yeah. Are you going to heaven? Yeah. But the joy's gone. Yeah, come on. We got to go. We got to go do it. We got to go to the church. Oh, come on, let's get in the car. Or you get there and, you know, and I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just using this because it stands out so much. You know, you look at these stupid parking lot cones. The plastic on these things are starting to crack. This cart that I take them out to the parking lot, the wheel's squeaking. Sounds just like me. Complain about, look at the windows. There's kids' fingerprints all over the windows. Yes, the sign says children's ministry. Enter here. You know, the carpet. I just cleaned it. Or for me, it's I just preached that message. This is what happens to me. I preach a message on the deity of Jesus. The service is over. I'm standing out there greeting people, and someone walks up to me and they say, when are you going to do a message that declaring that Jesus is the Lord, that He's God? And I say, are you coming into the service or are you going? I got to know. No, I'm leaving. Where were you for the last hour and a half? Why? We just talked on the deity of Jesus. Listen, I can get so upset with that. That's flesh. That's wrong of me. That's sin in my life. I need to say, I have a tape for you. It's pretty, it's testing, it's trying. And this happens, you know, and you pour your life into something, and all of us are pouring our lives into something. And if we get our eyes off of Jesus, we're wondering, well, how come nobody's noticing? Well, wait, God, who are you doing it for? God notices, He sees it. Oh, yeah, you know, God sees it. Hey, buddy, I got news for you. If people are seeing it, they're not really seeing it. You stop doing what you're doing, and you may not get a phone call. Somebody may not even miss you not doing it. Well, I greet every person at every service, every week, every year, since this church started. And I got sick and nobody called me. I know how you feel. But listen, who are you doing it for? Are you doing it because God called you to do it? Are you preaching because God called you to preach? Are you setting up the cones because God called you to set up the cones? If He called you to set it up, if He called you to preach, what do you need? What do you need? Do you, as the movie Chariots of Fire, remember that movie? As Abrams ran for the law and for human achievement, what was the Christian's guy's name? I forget. Little? Well, whoever the Christian guy was, he ran for the Lord, and when he gave the all-time greatest statement, he said, I have to run, because when I run, I sense His pleasure. Oh, yeah. That's ministry at its purest. I've got to do this. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel, Paul said. When I preach, he said, I sense his pleasure. That's how the call should be in your life. For what you do, for what you've been called to do. Now, on the flip side, his calling will be, no doubt, overwhelming and trying. God will see to it. But viewed in the spirit, internally, you'll be radically humbled by what God's doing. You're keenly aware of all of your inadequacies, painfully so. You'll feel like God has called the wrong person to do the work that you're doing. That's a good one. I wrote that myself. You'll be elated, though, to be used by God, and sleep will often become an inconvenience because you love doing it. Yeah, you'll be overwhelmed. You'll be tried, but you wouldn't have it any other way. Paul was like that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, Paul says, for you see, or the word is, you know your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, not many of the great in this world are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame those things which are mighty. So externally, when you're walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit and serving in the Spirit externally, ministry is happening. It's happening all around you now. You're smiling about it. You're excited. You're walking in the faith and looking for more things to do in God's name. And people will say, man, what a blessing. Oh, you know, God spoke to you and spoke to me through this, and or you're a joy in my life. And many of us have been in that place when someone comes up and says, you know, you really blessed my life, and thank you for, you know, being here and serving. And you know, you sit there and you go, praise God, hallelujah. And you know quite a handle those things. I mean, best thing to do is just reflect that stuff to Jesus, and I think that you're all very good at doing that. But down deep inside, honestly, we all think that the person saying that to us is a big liar. Pastor Jack, thank you for, the Lord really spoke, and you know, I've never, and I'm thinking, this person's just, and I know it's a terrible thing to say, but that's what I'm thinking. Why? Because I'm a jerk. How can God use me? You say, well, you don't really mean that. I really feel that. And up here, you have no idea what goes on up here. Somebody asked me just this last week, what's your worst day of the week? And I said, Sunday afternoons. Why? Because Sunday afternoons, I rehearse three services in my head after third service on Sunday. And none of them come out, or none of the services came out the way that I wanted them to come out. I should have said that. I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I wish I would have remembered. Oh, and that thing, and ow, and oh. God, is anybody going to come next week? And then I suck it up and go to the evening service and act like everything's fine. Paul the Apostle says, we die daily. And that's true. I'm not going to mention his name because he's very well known and a great guy. But I tell you, he was getting ready to do a wonderful big thing. And behind the scenes, he's chewing his fingernails off and they're starting to bleed. Bleed? You ever seen fingernails that are bitten so bad that they're starting to bleed? This guy's a man of God. He is a man of God. He's being used by God all around the world. Before the service, he's, nobody sees him like that. He's, and then the music stops and the, you know, thousands of people are there. And he walks out there, good evening. And you think, who's that? It's not him. He was in the dugout biting his fingernails off. It's the Lord that's on him. It's the Lord that's on him. Now, our fifth point, and we actually, that was all introduction, but that's okay. We're almost done. Hearing the call of God for your life, there will be no other call for us. There will be no other call My friend, listen, when God calls you, there'll be no other call. Verse 19 says, so Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Listen, one call tells all. God will call you once. He only has to call you once, just like he only has to save you once. He'll call you. And you say, well, Jack, you know, if he calls me once, am I going to miss the call? No. Remember, with Jonah, he's persistent.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Hearing the Call of God in Your Life. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. In fact, Hearing the Call of God in Your Life is a series within a series because, well, let's face it, we all want to know what our calling is. We'll hear more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, it is Friday, and that means it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack. Ask Pastor Jack is a great way to get your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. Just send your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Now, sometimes we get Pastor Jack into the studio, and sometimes we hear the answer from the pulpit. Here's today's question. Pastor Jack, is studying commentaries, etc., okay, or should we strictly use the Bible?
That's okay. That's foreign to me, this thinking. That caught me off guard, this thinking. First of all, this is great, okay? It's great. Personally, God and I, the way that we love each other, personally, I don't have any books when I'm with him to start. I have nothing. I personally sit in the absolute darkness alone with him like that. That's what I call my devotional life. There's nothing there but him and I. I like the virginness of that, personally. I'll get on my knees, I'll get on my face, I'll stand up. It's just him and I. For me, you guys, you have to understand something. I'm a pastor and I'm a student of the Bible. So my studying with the commentary time, I'm at work at that. That's hard work for me. This is what I do 25 hours a week. So to me, that's farming. It's not eating the food. Commentary reading, that is farming. It's not eating the food. When I'm alone with the Lord, it's more eating the food, right? So I want to encourage you, if that's what you're doing, go ahead and do it. And I know this is really hard. It's so hard. It's the most difficult thing, I think, for me personally. And it's to sit alone with God. It's not that he's not a great host. I have to really work hard at calming my body down. Even though I've just gotten out of bed, I start thinking about, what are the stars doing out there right now? My mind goes nuts. I'm borderline insane. And so it's really quiet time for me. It starts out really hard. I have to discipline my body to sit still. So it's not going to be easy, but man, is it rewarding. Regarding the Bible, when I want to hear something from God, when I want God to speak to me in my quiet time, or I should say in a different type of my devotional time, when I'm looking for what God wants to say to me, I will have my Bible open. I'll have a blank piece of paper, but I'm asking God, Lord, speak to me. And sometimes he speaks from the word when I'm reading it. Sometimes he speaks it in my head, and it's confirmed in the word. And when that happens, wild horses can't stop me from what he told me to do because I know he said it. It's fun. It's great. It's actually intoxicating.
All right, that's Pastor Jack on whether or not we should consult scriptural commentaries. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.